The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and a wealthy man. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he himself was short in stature. And so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly, and he received him with great joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading we have comes from the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, and it's the last great event before Jesus enters Jerusalem. At the back of this chapter 19, we'll have Jesus arriving at the outskirts of Jerusalem. Jesus did other miracles in Jerusalem. You remember Bartimaeus, the blind man. He healed him at Jericho. Jericho becomes very important biblically, and archaeologically becomes very important. So let me say a few words about the background on Jericho. Just 15 miles from Jerusalem, short distance, except if you're walking, it's a long distance. It's the lowest below sea level city in the world. It's 800 feet below sea level. It's also said to be the oldest inhabited city in the world. Archaeologists will reach back to 11,000 years ago, 9,000 years before Christ. There was a settlement in the area of Jericho. Now you have biblically in the book of Joshua, you remember the walls came tumbling down and the Canaanites were there and the people of Israel came in and took over the land. Kathleen Keenan, this very distinguished British archaeologist, decided some years ago in her research in the 50s, very recently, that actually from her research, which is very learned, she had determined that in the time of Joshua, there were no walls around Jericho. It's rather interesting. It raises an interesting proposition. Do we read the book of Joshua as history, or is it a theology indicating that this is a moment when God fulfilled the covenant, the promise to give this land to the Hebrew people? It's rather interesting. The history of this Jericho is also of some interest to us. Ancient city, but even like 40 years before Christ. Mark Anthony, remember Mark Anthony and Cleopatra, this Egyptian queen, a notorious woman. Anyway, Mark Anthony granted to her a large tract of palm and balsam groves in the area of Jericho. And when both of them died about the year 30 before Christ, it was given back by the emperor to Herod the Great, the one who threatened the life of Jesus. And he built his winter palace there. And from there on, it became like
a winter resort. It's like Palm Desert. It's a place where, when it got cool up around Jerusalem, the snowbirds went down to Jericho, where, because it's so below sea level, it was a very warm and inviting climate during the winter months. And that's where Zacchaeus was the tax collector, this man of wealth. Well, that's enough about Jericho, but Jericho becomes very important. Now, I've passed through Jericho and I've stopped in Jericho many, many times. Today, it's a fairly large place, about 20,000 residents, a little smaller than South Pasadena in the number of residents there. Very small Christian community, maybe 2% at the most. It's largely a Muslim place, and it was the headquarters of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, that organization that is meant to administratively oversee what we call the West Bank. So that's Jericho today, a very lively place. And by the way, right in the middle of town, they have planted a sycamore tree, so that you'll know exactly what it looks like when you read this parable from the Gospel of Luke. But let me tell you what this Jericho means to me in the many times I've passed through it and written journals there, what this Jericho means to me. First of all, Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He was a man that had everything. But yet there was a hunger inside of him. He was searching. And this wealthy man, who was despised by the people because he was a tax collector, runs ahead of Jesus. Now he runs. Luke is very important about details. He runs ahead of him, something undignified for a man at that time, especially a man of high standing, tax collector. And he climbs the sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. He's searching, he's open, he's hungry for something which money can't buy. He has enough money, but there's something missing from his life. He wants to see who Jesus is as he passes by. So he climbs the sycamore tree, and Jesus comes, and Jesus invites himself into the house of the sinner. I want to keep that in mind now. Jesus invites himself into the house of the sinner. And we don't know how many religious people today, after the example of Jesus, would invite themselves into the house of a sinner. And of course, those around say, he has gone to stay in the house of a sinner. He identifies somehow with the person who is searching and the person who is struggling. And so, the story tells us that he's short in stature. Now, there's much more to it than, you know, his size. Luke also wants to show us that he has a small heart. That's the shortness. He's a small person. You know what a small person looks like? Somebody who is greedy. Somebody who has a small heart. Disagreeable, awkward, contentious, jealous, miserable to be around. Get me on a bad day, I can have a small heart. Can be awkward and difficult and somehow disagreeable. That's a small heart. Self-interest rules a small heart. There's a certain entitlement in the small heart, a certain presumption, a certain lack of gratitude in the heart which is small. And this small man has a small heart. He's greedy. He's wealthy because he's greedy, but he has no friends. He's despised. But Jesus sees something in him that others do not see. Jesus sees possibilities, he sees goodness, he sees conversion, he sees his openness, and he enters his house. And the man who had a small heart, a small person, becomes a great person. And he becomes great when he sees his sins. And when he makes a public confession, when he accepts responsibility for his failures. He doesn't blame somebody else. The small heart blames somebody else. The great person acknowledges their sinfulness, takes responsibility for their failings, and becomes generous. Becomes grateful. That's the great heart. Now, all the times I've gone to Jericho, I've written journals on my small heart and my great heart. And how when Jesus enters your life, when you let Jesus Christ into your life, your heart will grow. You will forgive easier. You will understand your sinfulness, but in your sinfulness you are a loved person. You will not try to hide your weaknesses from yourself. You won't disavow your selfishness. You won't put yourself first. You'll think about the other person first. That's the great heart. And what Luke wants to teach us here is that when Jesus enters your house, enters your life, you become truthful. You look in the mirror and you say, this is the real person, not a mask. I confront the real person, the vulnerable, broken, the person who is judged, seen to be weak by the world. This is the power of Jesus Christ in a person's life. I've thought a lot about that when I passed through Jericho and wrote journals there and said, wow, what is the Spirit saying to me here? How do I cultivate a generous, forgiving, inclusive, embracive heart? How do you write the mantra of your life and say, I want to be gracious? Look around us. We live in a world, and we live in a place of greed and a place of harsh conversation, of severe judgment. Look at the politics that's going on today. It's embarrassing. The hearts are small, selfish, greedy, demanding. Even in the church, many of us in the church can have small hearts. We shut people out. People don't qualify. Jesus would not enter the house of a sinner. Jesus wouldn't call a sinner to the table and say, I belong to you. Does this happen in our church? Think how to sanctify the Lord's day today by having a great heart.